Our two readings this morning focus on the theme of love, John 13, 1 Corinthians 13.
The first reading comes from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And now I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples.
First Corinthians chapter 13. I may be able to speak the language of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burnt. But if I have no love, this does me no good. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and in faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. There are inspired messages, but they are temporary. There are gifts of speaking in strange tongues, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. For our gifts of knowledge and of inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. Now that I have grown up, I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
As I've been listening to one of two of you this morning, I realise I'm not the only one to be struggling with a cold. I've spent the last 2 days, at least most of the last 2 days, in bed, so I can't shout at you this morning. You will have to listen. Let's pray. Father God, we have just heard you speaking to us through the words of Jesus and the words of the Apostle Paul. And our prayer is that you will continue to speak to us this morning and that we will hear very clearly what is your plan and purpose for us as a church, as indeed for each one of us as individuals. In Jesus' name. Amen. According to the lectionary, today is the first Sunday in Epiphany. However, here at Central Baptist Church, we've called this Sunday, when everybody is back from holidays, Vision Sunday. Today is the day when I want to spell out what I believe is the vision for our church for the coming year. Centuries ago, Solomon declared, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And I believe that to be true in the sense that vision is a key motivating factor for any group of people. But what is vision? Well, if you've had a chance to look at the front of Update, you'll see how I state that vision is clearly related to mission, but it's different. We've said, for instance, that our mission as a church is to go Christ's way and make disciples. But of course, essentially, that is the mission of every church. Every church is called to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. Every church is called to love others and to share the love of God with others. There's nothing very special about our mission statement. Our mission is incumbent on each and every church. But vision is different. Vision is what a church believes is their particular God-given calling within its context. It's something special. It's something unique. Just as my fingerprints are unique and are not shared by anyone else, so too the vision of each individual church is unique. And the vision reflects not only the contextual surroundings of the church, but also the personality and giftedness of the church. Now, as far as we're concerned, our vision in the first place is to be a strong and vibrant Townsend church. I mean, our sister churches at North Springfield and Springfield Park couldn't say that, could they? Because their context is different. And if you look at the insert in today's update, you'll see the words, "As a town centre church, we are different from most other churches. We have no particular neighbourhood to minister. Instead, we see the whole town as our parish. At a time when most town centre churches are in decline, our vision is to be a vibrant 7-day-a-week town centre church, witnessing in word and deed to the love of Jesus. We want to be strong, not for the sake of growth, but for the sake of making a greater impact on our town for Christ." Now, it's within that context that we've sought to see if it's possible to acquire the building next door with a view to turning it into a community centre. I mean, what a difference that building would make to our witness and service as a church. But whether or not we will be successful in our bid for that building, I don't know. God willing, we shall know by the end of the month. I have to confess that if God closes that door, I shall be disappointed. And yet it will not be the end of our vision as a church. Because I believe there will be other ways for us to express our passion to serve the people of Chelmsford as a town centre church. But today I want to speak about another aspect of our vision. And that is our vision to be a strong and vibrant town centre church which is passionate for others to know and experience the love of God. And that's the context in which we developed our strap line, Central Baptist Church, a place to belong. In a world where many are lonely, we offer friendship. In a world where many long for community, we offer fellowship. In a world where many feel without worth, we offer affirmation. Now, in one sense, this is indeed the calling of every church. But I believe that this calling particularly relates to the personality and giftedness of our church. You know, there is something special about our church. And part of that being special is the particular welcome which we give to each and every visitor who comes to our church. I find it significant that almost without exception, whenever people fill in these welcome cards, they comment on the warmth of the welcome that they have received. Now, in one sense, this should be no surprise. For in our list of values, we've stated that we want to be a genuine Jesus community which is warm and welcoming. But of course, we cannot rest on our laurels. We need to work away at developing this. Increasingly, we need to be a church where love is real, where love is tangible, where love is all-inclusive, where people of all ages and of all cultures find a welcome. But of course, we want to be more than just a welcoming church, in the sense that we want to be a welcoming church where the welcome is such that visitors want to return, where a smile is accompanied with the offer of a meal, where people come and stay and feel they belong. Central Baptist Church, a place to belong, I think is a great strapline. And incidentally, I've today discovered on my desk a whole number of car stickers. Central Baptist Church, a place to belong. You can have one of these for free. Jane, you'll put it on your car, won't you? Great. Anybody else would like to put it on their car? I've got hundreds downstairs. This is part of our vision. We don't want to be a church like that particular church that was Gothic in architecture, Arctic in temperature, where the deacons walked up and down the aisles like polar bears. We want to be a place where people feel they belong. Now, it is within that context that we are running the program that originated in New Zealand. Looking for love, want it, need it, find it. We want to be a church where people looking for love, wanting love, needing love, find love. Yes, we want people to discover God's amazing love for each one of us as a result of experiencing God's love amongst us. People do want love. People need love. It's one of those basic needs. And people can find love here at Central Baptist Church. That is the vision which will drive all that we are doing here this spring. For 7 weeks, from Sunday the 12th of February to Saturday the 31st of March, we will be focusing on what the Bible says about love, on what the Bible says about God's love for us, and how we should love others. Now, to help us to have time for this program, we are asking for all teams, all committees, all little groups in the church to stop meeting in that particular period of time. We don't want people to have to choose between church commitments. In this period between the 12th of February and the 31st of March, we want there just to be one commitment, looking for love. So what will it involve? Well, in the first place, it's going to involve rolling up to church on a Sunday. For 7 Sundays of both morning and evening services, we shall be preaching on love. Love and God, God loves you. Love and humanity, God wants us to love others. Love and the church, love binds us together. Love and hurts, true love forgives. Love and perseverance, true love never gives up. Love and failure, true love does good even to those who let us down. Love and honour, true love encourages one and all. And then for good measure, we're going to add 2 other Sundays to top up the series with Love and the Cross, God Could Not Love You More, and on Easter Day, Love Triumphant, Nothing Can Separate Us from the Love of God. Now, I confess that when I normally sit at my desk and type in things into my computer, I do not feel excited. But this week, I felt excited. The words were, as it were, bouncing up and down. I felt really excited about the possibilities of this particular program of Sunday preaching. How about you? Are you excited? Are you really excited?
Yes.
Great! I'm glad that someone has heard the voice of God. I mean, if you are excited, will you own this vision by being there? By ensuring that you are in church for each one of those Sundays. So many people today are twicers. They come to church just twice a month. But I believe that if we do that in this particular period, we shall be missing out on what God is wanting to say to us as a church. Will you, for those Sundays, make church priority? So that only if you have two broken legs, or some other excuse like that, that you will not be there. Will you be there every Sunday? Someone's nodding. Great. But looking for love is not just about Sunday services. It's also about getting hold of this little booklet, this workbook, and using it. How many pages? 96 pages. £5 a throw. It provides readings and exercises for 7 weeks. At less than £1 a week, it is good value for money. But if you haven't got the money, please don't worry. Just ask me for a free copy of this workbook and I will give it to you. And if you're a couple, then I will give you 2 books. Because let me make it clear to those of you who are married, each of you needs your own personal copy. Because the kind of questions that it asks cannot be answered by a couple, but only by individuals. Now, of course, it's not just about getting hold of the workbook. It's about using it. Excuse me. Yes, I know that many of you live exceedingly busy lives. Some of you hold down 2 jobs, if not even 3. You have families to care for. You have responsibilities to fulfill. But are you willing, in this 7-week period, to use this workbook? And in particular, are you willing to give 10 minutes a day? Excuse me. I'm not asking for 30 minutes. I'm not asking for 20. I'm not even asking for 15. I'm asking, will you give 10 minutes a day to use this book to hear God speak to God? I'm sorry about this. So 10 minutes a day. And then a third request. And this may be challenging to some of you. I would ask each one of you for this 7-week period to join a small group. Most of these groups will meet in homes, but some perhaps will meet here in church. Many of these groups will meet of an evening, but some will meet during the day. Some of these groups may only meet for an hour because people are so pressed. But the question is, will you join one of these groups? Yes, I know that many of you do not have the time, you say, to attend a small group. But would you, for this period of 7 weeks, join a group? Now, why do I want you to join a group? Because I believe that if people are honest with themselves and with one another, then relationships within our church could be revolutionized. Incidentally, this is an extraordinarily searching book. It asks questions. It asks the kind of questions that you have to write out things about how you feel. If you can be honest with yourself and honest with one another, I believe that God could work in a special way in our church. In those groups, we shall work our way through this booklet. There are special questions for the groups. And fourthly, a fourth request, and this is the most challenging, will you try and bring along at least one non-church friend to one of these groups? I'm not saying, will you bring along? Because we know that we can't force anybody. But we can give our friends an opportunity to discover God's love for them and to discover how in practice we might love one another. The fact is that there are hundreds, there are thousands of people here in Chelmsford looking for love, wanting love, needing love. And the question is, are you prepared to be a channel for that? I mean, this incident links in so well with the two fundraising events that Amanda was speaking about. Yes, we could go straight up to a friend and say, will you come along to this group where we'll be looking at what the Bible says about love? But maybe step one is to say, what about coming along to this event in our church where we are raising funds for Sri Lanka, for the Jays or whatever, as part of our concern for others? And at both evenings, we will be talking briefly about looking for love. And then if we bring a friend along to that, we might turn to them and say, hey, what about coming along and joining the group I'm going to go to? Seven Sundays, 10 minutes a day, seven times, seven, 1 hour a week, and one friend. Goodness, I'm almost through my sermon, and I realize I haven't expounded scripture. So let me rectify that by reading three verses from Paul's so-called hymn to love. It's a passage of scripture that we often read at weddings. But in fact, it was written for a dysfunctional church which needed to discover how to love one another. First three verses, 1 Corinthians 13. I may be able to speak the languages of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burned. But if I have no love, this does me no good. It's a fascinating three verses. I suggest when you go home, you've got a few moments of quiet, that you look at it carefully, because it's constructed in a quite remarkable way. Each verse has a two-step heightening. Paul begins each sentence with a remarkable gift and then goes on to a truly amazing gift. And then he says, however remarkable and amazing our gifts and behavior may be, without love, they are nothing. Love is indispensable. To put it in mathematical terms, everything minus love equals nothing. So let's look at those statements briefly and apply them to church life today. When Paul writes, I may be able to speak the languages of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. He was targeting an unbalanced emphasis on speaking in tongues. The fact is that a spiritual rave-up without love has less value than a Hoffman symphony for vacuum cleaners. Paul goes on, I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all the knowledge and understand all secrets. Gosh, that hits people like Lisa, Martin, and myself. Preaching may be important. The use of the mind may be important. But even a Billy Graham without love is no use at all. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. The faith that Paul has in mind here goes hand in hand with the gift of healing. But even if we are causing people to throw away their crutches by the truckload, if there is no love, it's worth nothing. And says Paul, I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burnt. But if I have no love, this does me no good. According to Jesus, self-denial is at the heart of Christian discipleship. Yet even the most dedicated follower of Jesus is a failure without love. Yes, love is of the essence of the Christian life. As John Stott once said, love is the principle, the paramount, the preeminent, the distinguishing characteristic of the people of God. Compared to love, all else is secondary. You may have all kinds of spiritual experiences. You may have all the gifts rolled up in one. Without love, they are as nothing. And if we had the time, we'd see that the kind of love that Paul has in mind is not the gushy, touchy, smoochy type of love you see in a Hollywood film. No, it's the love which truly cares. The love which gets its hands dirty. The love which gives rather than gets. That's the kind of love which alone has any worth. And of course, that's the kind of love that we see in Jesus. Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus who died for you and for me, not because of who we are, but simply because we are. This is the kind of love that we will celebrate at the Lord's table in a moment. And this is the kind of love that we will seek to share through this Looking for Love program. This is the kind of love that people are actually seeking. Let's pray. I'm looking for love. Oh God from above, can't you help me? Father God, we pray that you will help us as a church and as individuals to see the possibilities that this program offers to enable many looking for love to find love. And Lord, may too this be a program that not only transforms lives, but revolutionizes the life of our church. Help us not to fail you in the vision that we believe that you've given us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.